Good morning again. I am very happy to be able to do this because Carolina is very special to me, and it certainly is an honor to share my Carolina story. I'm a person drawn to history and context, so let me give you a little in terms of painting the scene for 1979, since I'm a class of 1983. Jimmy Carter was president. Michael Jackson had released his breakthrough album, Off the Wall. The Rocky Horror Picture Show was showing at the Varsity Theater, and people were going every weekend to get sprayed with water. You can figure that out. Class registration still meant long lines at Woolen Gym. Streakers ran through undergrad library and the pit. And a new sports bar called Four Corners opened on Franklin Street. Now, why did I leave my hometown of Greensboro to come to UNC? Well, actually, my decision had a lot to do with my father. In fourth grade, he was a sociology professor at North Carolina A&T, and he took a year leave to come here and teach graduate courses in sociology, Carolina. And the summer of 71, my mother came to join him. She came to UNC to go to an institute for college mathematics professors, and they put me in day camp. But when I wasn't in camp, I was on campus, and as a 9.5-year-old, I was loving it. And I was sold. Within 3 years of that experience, some great reporting and a couple of lawyers named Sam Irvin and Barbara Jordan captivated me during the Watergate hearings. And with this good law school and journalism schools, I said maybe, you know, Carolina really is the right place for me to be. So again, for a little context, my parents graduated from college before the first blacks were admitted to Carolina in 1955. So it really is ironic that it was because of my father teaching here. And that was an event that happened only 4 years after the first black professor was hired here, that I had my first exposure to Carolina. And it also indicates the changes that have started happening in the South and has started happening on this campus. So in 1979, it was with a sense of satisfaction and hopefulness that my parents brought me to be a student in UNC Chapel Hill. Now some of my favorite memories from this campus. Being in a sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha, step shows and parties in Upendo Lounge in Great Hall, waiting for burgers at Hector's at 2 a.m. after parties at Upendo and Great Hall, semi-formal fraternity dances and sorority dances, eating at Papagayo's, hanging out at the pit or in the union or on the wall of undergrad library, living in Morrison and being an RA in Hinton James, having hard-fought campus campaigns and elections, having influential professors like Art Benevie in econ, Jim Lutze in history, Trudy Harris in English, and Duncan McRae in public policy. Also, two very caring administrators who seemed to have perpetual office hours, and that was Associate Dean Hayden B. Renwick and Dr. Marjorie Christensen, affectionately known as Dr. C for those of us in the Fellows Program. The guy I dated at UNC was a philosophy major, and he decided to join this organization called the Dialectic and Philanthropic Society, better known as DIFI. So I also got involved. And for those of you who may not know, DIFI was Carolina's first student organization back in 1795, and that was a wow experience. I would wind my way up those four flights of New East and enter the DIFI chamber, and as a student, that put my whole current student life in perspective when you step in that room, if you've never had, because you step into the storied past of Carolina. And I got a chance to see the topics the students have debated since the school was founded. And it gave me a fascinating look at how issues have impacted this school as well as the world at large. So I have a lot of good memories of Carolina. And one memory also is about a course, Special Studies 90. It was a short-lived student designed and implemented course that received academic credit here in 1982. The real point is not about the course, it's about the fact that Carolina allowed students to be creative and execute on a vision. And for me, it showed what kind of special place this was. In the fall of 1980, I was a student rep for Dean and Arts and Sciences Dean Samuel Williamson's committee charged with suggesting changes to the general college requirements. So I was spending a lot of time looking at course requirements on campus, and I was also very active in student government, SGA. And one day a group of us were sitting around and decided there wasn't really a course to address multicultural issues across disciplines, academic disciplines, and so our attitude was, there isn't one, let's start one, and let's get academic credit. 19-year-old, you believe you can do it. The seminar was to be a joint project between SGA and the School of Arts and Sciences. We had 5 UNC professors and 3 visiting lecturers, including a newspaper editor and a professor from Harvard in this area of folklore musicology, actually led classes for this course. Sweet C, as we called the SGA home at that time, which was in the Union, ended up being the home department for the course because no other academic department would touch it. As students, we developed the syllabus, we got course approval, we selected professors, and since no department would handle registration, I went to then-registrar Ray Strong, and he agreed to allow us to handle registration. And back then, they had cards like this for those who were younger alums. You had cards like this for every class. And, you know, they stuck them into computers, if you can imagine back then a computer that you would feed this into. So we were handling drop ad for this course in the lobby of Suite C. The university allowed us to do this. And because all the rooms had been allocated for the class, we had the class in the lounge of Morrison Dorm. So it was a crazy 10 months as students doing all this and trying to pull together these administrative tasks. And a few months before the course was about to begin, I got a call in my dorm room from Dean Williamson's office when they finally woke up at Arts and Sciences and saw that we were really pulling all this stuff together because they assumed, okay, students, they'll forget the idea. I got a call saying, Teresa, you cannot lead a course that students are going to be officially evaluated in. You got to get a professor involved. And I'm thinking, how in the world are we going to do this? So I started looking around at professors and saying, and we got this course, and, you know, will you, you know, lead our course? And people looked at me like I'm crazy, except for one. And he was a longtime honors program and speech communications professor by the name of Paul Brandis. And I'll never forget him. I basically was begging him, but he listened to my pitch, and he nodded his head, and he said, I'll do it. And again, some context. This is 1981. He was a very senior professor who, instead of coasting, you know, this point of his teaching career, was actually enrolled in a law school, getting a law degree, and also doing all kinds of stuff on campus, just unbelievable energy, and said, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this on. And that is a very special memory for me because it shows that UNC is a very special place where you find professors who buy into student creativity and allow you to have a very empowering experience. And it was only about 7 years ago that I found out that the Brandis Course Development Awards are presented to UNC professors who create seminars that are interdisciplinary in nature and which stress innovative ways of teaching and learning. And I always wondered why he gave us a shot as students. And it was because we were blessed to come across him and that creativity in undergraduate education was one of his passions. So when I think of Carolina, that's one of the very, very special things to me about why this place is so special. And I can certainly say that without exception also, the dearest friends I have in life I met at this place. So my college years, looking back, were fun, creative, fearless times when I didn't have sense enough to be scared about the obstacles that faced me. Now as an alum, particularly when I walk on the brick paths of McCorkle Place, I often do think about the generations of people who came before me. So consequently, particularly also with the Di-Fi experience, UNC for me is much bigger than its current students, its current faculty, staff, or even its living alumni. We are merely stewards of this institution for small slivers of time. I am just very proud to be a UNC alumnus and proud to be part of a very vibrant legacy. And I'm excited for the future ahead because that legacy does continue. Thank you very much.